and honored to welcome Lieutenant Governor Evelyn Sanguinetti into this studio. She's in town today. Good morning, Lieutenant Governor. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Scott. You're not so solo now. You got me.
Oh, I tell you what, I've had guests all day. Welcome to Bloomington. And you're going to visit Chestnut today. Of course, opioids, the opiate crisis. If I encourage anyone, you want an idea how big this problem is. You hear it all about. Just Google the word county and opiates, and you'll be amazed at how many counties around the country are dealing with this. And McLean County is another one.
Right.
Many more opiate deaths than one would imagine.
Right. Yeah. You folks have been hit hard. So I have the numbers here. McLean County overdose deaths more than doubled this past year. 15 in 2016 to 34 in 2017, primarily due to the synthetic called fentanyl, which is killing our children. You know, all across the board, this is an equal opportunity aggressor that we're grappling
Absolutely.
With.
Absolutely. Young, old, rich, poor, doesn't make any difference. Talk about this fentanyl, where it's coming from, and how it can be controlled.
Right. Well, the fentanyl is a synthetic. You could get it legally if you have a very, very debilitating chronic condition, such as having cancer and being in your last stages in life. But then fentanyl is also coming in. The synthetic is also coming in illegally, and it's being used to put on or lace, if you will, heroin as well as opioids. They're coming in primarily through China. However, we just got a tour from U.S. Customs on this very issue, and they're being very creative as to how it's coming in through our very mail system and into our homes. And it's very scary because it's almost an automatic killer in every case. Our coroners are also grappling with that issue as they try to piece together evidence in order to determine a cause of death. So at every level, enforcement, our coroners, you know, our court system, it's affecting us.
Fentanyl, so powerful, what, it can kill an elephant, like a couple of drops or something like that?
Correct. Just a few grains of what we see as sand could automatically kill you. And that's why with the governor's task force on reducing opioid-related deaths one-third over the next 3 years, not only do we have a task force, but now we have an opioid overdose prevention plan, which is what brings me here today. We're touring the state. After we unveiled our plan back in September, we are also trying to implement our plan because, as you know, government puts together these lovely plans and you kind of wonder what happens next. Mm. Well, what we've been able to do as a task force with this plan is finally have, with regard to Narcan, have a standing order. Now, for those of you who don't know what Narcan is, it's that magic resuscitator. If you're experiencing an overdose, Narcan could keep you alive. It will resuscitate you. Now you don't need a prescription. You could go to Walgreens right now and get Narcan and become a first responder yourself. I'm Narcan trained. So we have that standing order. We also unveiled a 1-800 number, and this is significant because I represent the Governor's Rural Affairs Council. And in some parts of our state, this issue is still too stigmatized to even talk about. Lots of parents don't know where to seek help. Now we have a 1-800 number open 7 days a week with professionals ready to help at any stage of your recovery process. That number is 1-833-TO-FIND-HELP. 1-833-TO-FIND-HELP. And Scott, I'll leave the card with you as well.
Okay.
So, and then something else that we've been able to do is our prescription monitoring program. Before, it used to be where our prescribers could choose to go ahead and log in and monitor what prescriptions they were putting out into the market. Now, we have a prescription monitoring program that you're actually obligated to log into. And this will prevent doctor shopping, which is what happens so much. People know to go into the ER, get their opioids there, then start shopping in other avenues to continue to feed their opioid use disorder. So again, step by step, we are attacking this epidemic. And I know our president also says that this is an issue of nationwide concern, not just to Illinois.
What kind of help are we getting from the federal level? Is it down the road yet? Because I know it was just a few months ago that he said the federal government needs to address this.
Right. Well, you know, and this helps because we have received some help. As you know, it's no secret. I heard your last interview. You know, Illinois has been in an economic shortfall for many decades now. So when you think about where do we get the money to attack this problem or do we ignore it? Well, we can't afford to ignore it, right? So the federal government has stepped in. We've been able to secure $40 million. But as you know, that's a scratch at the surface. This is being used to have what we call a mapping process to find out where people could go, like Chestnut, for instance, where people could go when they're trying to find help. We've also put that money into our 1-800 number and getting that together. So we are continually asking for help from the federal government, and I believe that our president understands now what a big problem this is. He's addressed it.
Do you know, I mean, it may not have an answer, I don't want to throw you a curveball, but the opiates that these people are getting, are they receiving them legally? And by that, I mean through prescriptions. Is that a bulk of how the drug gets distributed, or is it black market on the street?
You see it all across the board, Scott. Every single story is different. And as we've had field hearings throughout the state of Illinois, you hear the stories from the victims. You hear from that mom in Mount Vernon, for instance, that came home to have lunch with her 22 and 23-year-old kids. She didn't know that they suffered of opioid use disorder. And she got home to two dead children, her only two boys. And she had indicated that it got started with them going into the parents' medicine cabinets. A lot of us, we forget to clean out our medicine cabinets. Sometimes that's where it starts. It also starts not only with kids, but with moms, such as me. We heard from a mother, her name was Jamie over in Taylorville, and she had indicated that she was like all of us, had minor surgery, had opioids prescribed to her, became addicted, and saw her life and her friends change. Suburbanite mom, all of a sudden in the streets of Chicago, moved on from opioid to heroin. So every story is different, and the way it gets to people is different.
Talking with Illinois Lieutenant Governor Evelyn Sanguinetti, who's in town today to visit Chestnut. What's your message going to be there?
Well, the message is going to be to listen. We have some very amazing confirmed guests there. We have Senate Republican Leader Bill Brady, who's going to be with us, the county coroner, the from the health department. And again, we're trying to listen as to how every county is dealing with this epidemic and how they're addressing it. For instance, sometimes we hear from law enforcement. In some communities, they do not have the sort of support to be able to put people in a plan through recovery, and instead they try to arrest their way out of this problem. Well, we now know we can't do that. We have to work together as a community, as coalitions, so that we could work together because recovery is a lifetime ordeal.
Reading up on this, and maybe you said it earlier on your tour, but these people that are addicted to this stuff, and it's an addiction, their body craves it, they have to get it, they find the doctors that are willing to give it to them.
Right.
What does the task force, what's their plan on dealing with people in the medical profession that are handing these things out like candy?
Right. Well, we have the prescription monitoring program, which is the whole reason why we made it mandatory so that we could be able to monitor how these prescriptions are being handled. And now that it's mandatory, we've actually seen 17,000 additional physicians that have registered with this prescription monitoring program. That's helped. And you've also heard on the part of the Attorney General, there's been some litigation in that regard. We're all trying to work together to find out. But just understand that that's one avenue that people are getting a hold of their opioids. There are other avenues.
You know, and I've heard, too, that marijuana may be able to take care of some of the problems that people have. And instead of taking opiate, marijuana may be the deal.
Yeah. Well, so during our field hearings, I know that the cannabis lobby has been very vocal, and we've also taken their testimony. But then we've also heard in some communities where law enforcement has come in and said, look it, you talk to these individuals and the way they get started and move on to opioids and heroin is with marijuana, and they look at it as a gateway drug. So again, you hear all sorts of arguments across the spectrum. At the end of the day, though, Scott, I think that we should start looking at this differently. We got to change our lexicon. People are being very judgmental as to how we deal with this. They're addicted, let them lose their souls. And now science is telling us this is a disease. And we need to handle it as such.
Well, you know, and it is. And so many people get hooked on this stuff after having a surgery.
Right.
And I don't know whether you've had a surgery or not. I've had surgery and I've had opiates prescribed to me and I won't take them.
Right.
So then you have them laying around a medicine cabinet. Kids get into them. You have to be very careful with this stuff. Education is a big deal about this. I think once people realize that anybody can become addicted to this, if you have pain, you want to get rid of the pain, and it's easy to pop a pill, and then all of a sudden it's got you.
Right.
I mean, come on, look at Rush Limbaugh, for crying out loud.
Right.
His addiction to it. So it can happen to anyone. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your work, and welcome to town, and hopefully we can do something about this, because it's a horrible, horrible thing that's going on, not only here in McLean County, but everywhere. What did I see? More people die from opiate overdose than car accidents.
Correct.
And was cancer in there too, or?
Well, I heard the car accident one. The numbers are just incredibly overwhelming. But what I could say is that there's hope at the end of the tunnel. Scott, there is recovery. A lot of people think that there's no way out, but we've had people testify before us, and there are incredible stories of recovery.
All right, here's the number I was looking at, Evelyn. 1,900 people in Illinois expected to die of opioid overdoses this year. That's more than 1.5 times the number of homicides. Talk about that a lot. And twice the number of fatal motor vehicle crashes. So, got your work cut out for you. Thanks for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Indeed. Hey, Scott, next time you invite me back, let's try to talk about something more upbeat, too.
All right. We'll do the Brady Bunch. We were doing the Brady Bunch off the air. See if you know your Bradys.
Oh, dear.
You're going to see Bill today.
Oh, we will.
And I imagine Dan will be there, too,
oh,
our
will.
Representative. All right. Good
Wonderful.
Seeing you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Evelyn Sanguinetti on WJBC at